Well, look at this. A snake in the birdhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Hotlanta.
Hello, Fred.
How are we doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing awesome.
Donnie, have you taken Matt to our... I would be really mad if you did, because it was our date. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Our special Atlanta date.
Was it the...
The Claremont?
The Coca-Cola Museum?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. No, I think he's already been. So I would never sully that. That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's you and I.
That's etched in my memory forever.
We locked arms as we sipped on nice ice-cold Coca-Cola.
You know, the coolest part about going to the Coca-Cola Museum was at the very end when you walk into the tasting room and there's like 400,000 different drinks that you can get out of the fountains.
It's so amazing. Overwhelming. You just don't know which one to get. Like, no. Okay, that's no. I see something else. It's great.
I mean, can you imagine being a little kid in there? Like,
they would.
No, they're just bouncing
off the walls. Yeah.
God. Like, you've hit the mother load.
Because you're there and your parents will let you drink all the soda you want. We're here, just go. And they are just hopped up on it.
Okay, so we have a few left over from last week that I wanted to get to.
Okay.
And this is from Jesse. He says, and by the way, this is the Birdhouse. We do it every week at this time. My name is Corby.
Hi, Corby.
Thank you. And we rely on you. And I put out the message on Twitter. We rely on you to answer the call and give us good stuff. So this is from Jesse. What's your first memory of your parents doing or saying something that made you realize that they were flawed humans? He says, mine was hearing my mom drop the F-bomb when she dropped a Coke bottle on her toe when I was 4.
Oh, that's a great one.
It really is. I'm trying to think. I don't know what it would... I don't know. Probably not until I got older and looked back. I don't remember in the moment thinking that.
My dad, I remember leaving a Ranger game when we were little kids. Somebody cut him off in traffic, and he flipped him the bird. And me and my friend were in the back seat of the station wagon, and it was real violent-like, and I think he may have even said F you or F off as he flipped him the bird in the rearview mirror. And, awesome. And it was just like, whoa.
How old were you? Did you know what the bird was at that point?
I knew it was bad.
Okay.
I was probably six or seven, something like that.
Yeah, I can remember my dad really hating to talk on the phone. And if someone called and it was for him and he was busy, if you go, hey, dad, telephone, he would mutter some curse words. And he'd get on the phone like it was nothing. Like he was happy to talk to him. I was like, 30 seconds ago, you were cursing their name as you walked to the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's probably the first time I heard him kind of going off like that when he just didn't want to talk to anyone on the phone.
Yeah, there's a couple of times with my dad where he confronted a couple of people when I was really little. Like this one time, this guy was running down the back alley and my dad was out in the garage and he had left the door from the garage into the house open and this dude's dog just like ran inside the house. And my dad was like yelling. I remember him yelling at the guy like, what are you doing? Like, I forget what he said, of course, but... Something like that. But I don't know, because I feel like my dad did that stuff in traffic ever since I was probably a baby. So
it's just normal baby.
Yeah, I didn't think anything was weird about it.
My mom, me and my best friend got into a fist fight that spilled into my house. My mom was washing dishes. She came down the hallway, and she hit him with a pan.
Okay.
Like, she helped me beat somebody up, and it was great. So I guess I didn't realize it was a flawed human being. I thought, thanks, Ma. I think I was getting my ass whooped at this point. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't remember my mom. I'm sure she cussed at some point. I just forgot about it.
She told my sister.
Did y'all ever hear them? Did y'all ever hear him doing it?
No.
No, we were told, hey, it's time to go out in the yard or play or whatever. And when, like when you're young, you don't like, oh, okay, that's a great idea. Let's
like
go.
You remember that? Them
yeah, because,
telling
like,
you to go play in the yard?
Well, I remember at one point when we got a little older, I was probably in high school, and my dad, it was Sunday morning, and my dad came out of their bedroom and was like, hey, y'all go upstairs or go outside or something. and I was like, I don't want to. And my dad's like, well, you know, just go spend some time outside or go read or something for a while, because we were in the living room next to their bedroom. And I think it I think it got to a point where he was like, you know, I'm about to do this. Get out of here. And we're like, oh, God. But it's funny because I think about this. I don't know if you guys ever think about this. I think about, like, when my dad was my age, I was, like, a senior in high school, I believe. And so, or maybe I was even in college when my dad was the same age that I am now. And so I think of myself, I was like, man, I would have hung out with my dad if we were both in our 40s and I could meet him in his 40s. Man, this dude's cool. But when you're a kid, I don't know if it comes.
No,
of course,
because
it's not that
they're the oldest people in the world.
Isn't it amazing, though, is how disgusting it is from a kid's perspective that your parents would ever do anything like that?
Yes.
Like, why does that gross? It's just gross.
I know. It's the reason why you're here, but you just don't want to even imagine. I think one time I looked, I maybe walked in on my parents, and they were, like, lying really close together in the bed. Clothed, but really close. And I went, ugh, and just turned around and walked out.
It's like they're not allowed to be human beings.
No,
right, right.
Because you're kids, and it's disgusting. And your kids will probably think the same thing if, you know, you're cuddling with your wife, and they just burst into the room, like, oh, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah.
Gonna do.
Hey, pop.
Okay, this is from Robert. Would you rather be known as the greatest hot dog eater in the world, like what's his butt?
Joey Chestnut.
Or the greatest 8-iron player in the world? It's the only club you're good at, but you are the best 8-iron player in the world, or you're the greatest hot dog eater in the world.
You might be able to win some hole in one contest if you're the greatest 8-iron player in the world.
But that's no recognition. Who cares? You'll be more famous for being the greatest hot dog eater now in these days than an 8-iron player.
But does that pay off at all, being...
What's
like, is
Joey
Chestnut...
Net
first off, his
right
insides
now?
are ripped to shreds.
He's probably worth a couple mil.
But nobody's gonna... You're not on... It's not like you're on tour because you're just a wizard with an 8-iron.
I know.
No one's going to know.
It'd be
but
nothing.
What if you could make that 8-iron, like you could hit it anywhere from 110 yards to 170 yards perfect. Like, you're the greatest in the world. You're better than Scheffler. All of it. You would be, even though you're not good at any other club, you would be a good golfer.
Guesses on Chestnut's net worth?
I'll say $2.5 million.
I'll say $5 million.
I'll say $600,000.
His yearly salary right now is around $500,000, but net worth $3.5 million.
It's about right.
8-iron is not going to get you anything.
It might though.
You're right. You're
nothing.
Right.
No, because you're right. Like even if, like you couldn't play in a major because kick ass.
No.
I got it on the green. Now I can't putt. I'm just five putting.
You're a regular putter. You're a regular driver, but you're just this wizard with an 8-iron.
Although,
like I know, I mean, it's going to the health ramifications of being the greatest hot dog eater may take away, but if your point, if you want to be famous and you want everyone to know, then it's definitely hot dogs. Because no one cares that you're a wizard with an 8-iron.
Be a wizard with an 8-iron and go back to last week and take the $1 billion challenge at Sawgrass.
That's oh my God.
There
yes.
You go.
Now you
about
may be
that.
Talking me into it.
From Ranch Pizza, what's the one food you absolutely refuse to eat, and what's the story behind it? He says, mine is shredded coconut. I got some stuck in my throat, thought I was going to die, so I made myself throw up until it was gone, scarred me for life.
Yeah, shredded coconut, something that I don't want. But for me, it's chitlins. Just the inner.
Did you have an experience with them, or
they
chitlins?
Stink. They stink to all holy hell, and I refuse. Like, my wife loves them. My mom does also, but I'm out. I would never even attempt to taste them.
I don't know what mine is.
So when I was a kid, I hated, this is going to sound so weird, but I would not eat chocolate in any form.
Why is that?
It tasted terrible to me. It's so weird, dude. I'm the only kid in the world who's ever said that. I could not eat chocolate. I still can't eat, like, chocolate ice cream to me tastes disgusting.
Hmm. That's interesting.
But I can eat like a
Hershey's
Kiss
or something
right, like that.
Right. But not a lot of it.
No, but I literally, if you put a bowl of chocolate ice cream in front of me, I couldn't finish it.
It's probably my least favorite flavor of ice cream. It just tastes a little bit different.
But as far as like adult food goes, I don't know if there's anything that I just refuse to eat. I feel like I've tried everything.
I've really gotten into sauerkraut.
Okay, yeah, we know, man. I will not outwardly eat raisins because of an experience that I had with my niece who loved them, but I had to change a diaper, and it was just
it looked like raisins
field. I was like, oh, my God.
Jeez, okay.
So I'm out.
She's swallowing them whole.
It's God, bad, man.
It looked like it. When that's what I'm saying. I was like, no.
I don't know what it would be.
Now, you have to, like, bury a raisin in a cookie for me to even attempt it. But if you just had a box of them out there, I'm out. Won't do it.
Open Championship is in Ireland starting tomorrow. Who is the bigger celebrity in Ireland, Rory or Bono?
Man.
So, Rory, I'm assuming... he's the greatest athlete ever from Ireland, I think. There may be a soccer guy or rugby or something that I'm not thinking of, but Rory's surely
the guy. He is. At least right now that's alive, you would think. I don't even know who else you could name that's a world-famous Irish athlete.
And Bono is their number one.
Man, from a crazy rock band that's been popular for 40 years.
Yeah.
George just interviewed Bono, right? George interviewed a bunch of people out there, and a lot of them didn't seem to care for U2 very much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wondered that, too, if they're bigger here than they are there, and they don't have the same appreciation.
That's the way he made it seem.
But everyone loves Rory.
Sounds
not
like
Frisco.
A TV show.
Well, not Frisco.
Rory.
I forgot. Yeah, he bagged on Frisco.
That's right. Okay, there's a bunch of actors. Liam Neeson, Colin Farrell, Cillian Murphy, they're all Irish.
Okay, who's the biggest actor then? Is Cillian Murphy the biggest?
Yeah, Oscar winner. Liam Neeson was really big for a while, and now he just plays the same guy in every movie.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the new Naked Gun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That seems like a departure from what he usually will do. You interested in watching that, Corby?
I am. I'll watch it. It looks ridiculous. Mainly I'm going to watch it because Seth MacFarlane is the executive producer or maybe the director. But I know he had he wrote some of it too, and I love Family Guy. So I'll follow Seth to the gates of hell for that.
I think it's funny in a trailer where Liam Neeson looks at the picture of Leslie Nielsen, and then the other actor looks at OJ and just kind of shakes his head.
He goes, nah.
Really funny. That'll make me go watch it. That scene
from Brian, would you rather be 4 foot tall or 8 foot tall?
8.
Okay, so I think it's a gimme. We'd all rather be 8. But at what point, what about 5 feet tall or 8 feet tall?
Oh, 5. Like 4 is, that's so tiny. But I would rather be 5 foot than 8 foot. I'd even think about 4 foot instead of 8 foot. I will bet you being 8 foot tall is miserable.
It's terrible, and you're not going to live very long at all. You probably have a max lifespan of 40.
Yeah, didn't the world's tallest man only live to be like 22 or something like that?
Yeah. But wasn't he like 8'11"?
Okay, yeah, Robert. Still, that's still just, I mean, just imagine you getting into cars or trying to,
anything.
You know what? I'll take 40.
Anything.
I can survive being 40.
He was 6'9". I know you know.
He was 8'2".
Okay,
So, yeah. Robert Wadlow, is that his name?
4 feet tall, huh?
Oh, man.
But you would live to be...
Maybe.
Yeah, Robert Wadlow, 8'11", known as Alton the Giant and the Giant of Illinois. He died of he had pituitary gigantism. And let me see if I can find
it. You kind of petered it out.
I know, well, I'm reading on a thing.
Okay.
No, you know... Yeah, he was.
Seconds there.
We did a story on him. 42. I think a couple of years ago it popped up.
Yeah.
And I think that he was like 6'11" in the third grade or something like it was so stupid.
Yeah, that's again. I think I would choose 4 foot. I was 5'1" going to my junior year, so I know what it's like being tiny. But God, that is so tiny. Being a grown man at 4 foot. You can't
From Tim
anyone.
Tim, if there was no NFL salary cap, would the Cowboys have a top 5 payroll every year, or would they be towards the bottom? Jerry claims he'd write a huge check to win, but given how cheap he is with head coach salaries, I don't buy that at all.
Man, I kind of think they would. especially if you have something like this to where you haven't been to a championship right. game in 30 years, I think they probably would have one of the higher
I think they'd spend the money.
Yep, I think so too.
But why doesn't he own coaches?
It's a great question. I don't know. Doesn't I just think the there's same, some maybe some things that they kind of value, almost like positions that they value more than others. And maybe he does feel. He said it before, and we thought he was just talking out of his ass. He probably thinks there are 500 coaches that can coach the Cowboys to a Super Bowl. He probably does really, truly think that. So maybe that's why he's not spending a lot of money on it.
He was right the first time when he said that.
Because the roster reflected it. And I think he would go really hard on the payroll of a roster and say, well, anybody can coach that and try to cheap out on that area.
And finally, an SEC media question from Paul. He says, I picture all the media there. He says, I heard your interview with Gunnar Stockton, and now I picture all the SEC media looking like and dressing like Colonel Sanders.
No, not at all.
No. Now,
sounding like, there is definitely some of that. Definitely some of that.
They are dressed to the nines here. That was I enjoyed that interview, man. He just seemed like a good dude.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy? I heard that interview too.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy though how thick that accent is?
Yes. Deep Georgia accent.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
It really is. All right, Corby, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it. That's the Birdhouse. Thank you.
Snake.